From NPR News in Washington, I'm Paul Brown. Rescue teams are leaving a West Virginia mine they had entered to search for four missing miners. Kevin Strickland of the Federal Mine Safety and Health Administration says the air quality in the mine has deteriorated.
We had some consecutive samples coming out the borehole that indicated an explosive mixture. And this is a setback.
The search was delayed in starting because of high concentrations of toxic explosive methane. 25 miners died in an explosion on Monday. President Obama has signed a major new arms control agreement with his Russian counterpart. NPR's Scott Horsley reports from Prague that the treaty signing is just ahead of big U.S. and Russian efforts to encourage other countries to exercise restraint on nuclear weaponry.
The new START treaty calls for both the U.S. and Russia to reduce their long-range nuclear arsenals by about a third over the next 7 years. It also calls for cuts in launchers for those weapons and a verification system to make sure both countries comply. The signing comes as President Obama is preparing to host a summit meeting on nuclear security with more than 40 countries next week. This agreement gives the U.S. and Russia more credibility going into that meeting, since the two countries have the lion's share of the world's nuclear weapons.
And given this legacy of the Cold War, it is critical for us to show significant leadership.
The new START treaty still has to be ratified by the U.S. Senate and the Russian Duma. Scott Horsley, NPR News, Prague.
Police in Afghanistan have arrested five men they say were planning to launch suicide attacks in Kabul. NPR's Jackie Northam is in Kabul and says that Afghan police call this the largest suicide team ever captured in the capital.
Officials with the Afghan National Police say the five men were traveling in an SUV loaded with bags containing explosives. The police say they were acting on a tip when they stopped the men and that it's believed they are part of the Haqqani Network, an Afghan Taliban group with links to Al-Qaeda. Police say they believe the men were going to launch a multi-pronged attack here in Kabul, most likely in a crowded district of the city. The five men were paraded before a group of journalists. They were handcuffed and were wearing blindfolds and hoods. There have been a number of suicide bombings in Kabul over the past few months. The latest was in mid-January when suicide bombers struck a busy shopping area frequented by Westerners. Since then, the number of police checkpoints in the city has risen dramatically. Jackie Northam, NPR News, Kabul.
An opposition coalition in the former Soviet Republic of Kyrgyzstan says it is forming an interim government after protesters forced the president to flee the capital for a city in the south. The demonstrators are angry about arrests of dissidents and other heavy-handed tactics used by President Kurmanbek Bakiyev. This is NPR News. A Labor Department official from the Bush administration has pleaded guilty to concealing illegal gifts he received from lobbyist Jack Abramoff. NPR's Peter Overby reports he is the latest in a growing list of Bush administration officials and others now known to have taken gifts from Abramoff.
Horace Cooper was chief of staff at the Labor Department's Employment Standards Division. He admitted that his 2003 financial disclosure form didn't reveal gifts from Abramoff and another lobbyist. A federal grand jury said he accepted free gifts at Abramoff's pricey restaurant, plus tickets to sports events and concerts. Abramoff was lobbying the Labor Department on behalf of a Native American tribe that wanted to keep casino workers from unionizing. Cooper is the fourth political appointee from the Bush administration to be convicted in the probe of Abramoff's corrupt operation. In all, one former congressman and 20 former lobbyists, congressional staffers, administration officials, and others have been convicted. Peter Overby, NPR News, Washington.
The Roman Catholic clergy sex abuse scandal widens further with revelation that a Memphis, Tennessee priest the church believes abused minors is still working in a congregation and that parishioners were not told of his past. A review board first decided the allegations against Father William Kantner dating back to the 1970s had no merit and then reversed itself. But Kantner is still working in a congregation. Newly unsealed documents also show the Memphis diocese has protected at least one other accused priest. The government reports new claims for unemployment benefits rose by 18,000 last week, a sign of continued weak labor market. I'm Paul Brown in Washington.